Blog Talk Radio.
In Napoli, where love is free, when boy meets girl, here's what they say.
What's up, everybody? What's happening tonight? Happy Thursday to you. It is I, the man who is internationally known, nationally recognized, and locally appreciated. I am none other than William Powell. Thanks for tuning in to the show. Tonight, we have my good friend, Dionne Ardain. She is a very good actress who has done some really fantastic things up there in New York City and the Big Apple. But before we get into that, let me give a shout-out to the hot hip-hop group, F to the R, whose music video, Brush 'Em Off, is being filmed this weekend, and I'm the producer, and I have a role. I'm very excited about that. And shout out to my pals Vincent Fiore and Connie Lamont from the Wise Guy Kitchen Cooking Show. It's an interactive show. It's very funny. It had a lot of comedy. And I went to the show the other night, and I had more fun than the law allows. So let me go ahead and bring on Dionne. Hey, Dionne, how you doing?
I'm good, William. How are you? Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, well, thanks for coming on. I'm really excited.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
Me too.
How's the weather up there in the Big Apple?
It's actually pretty chilly right now. It was warm today, a little overcast, but it's chilly tonight. I'm actually just getting out of my real estate office where I work at, so I do that up here. But it's a little chilly, but, you know, summer's here, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it's been a very cold spring. I know we just
It's
kind of humid down here in D.C. We just had a big old rainstorm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, that's what happens when it gets humid. So congrats on landing your Saturday Night Live gig. Tell me about that. You were a wedding band member. So tell me about that.
I was I do background on SNL ever so often, and so they will call sometimes to do the live show, or they'll call and have actors work on a pre-tape, whether it's a pre-tape skit or pre-tape commercial. And so they called, and it was for a Xanax commercial. And so if you go on Hulu and do Xanax SNL, you see the spot. I didn't make any of the cuts on it. It was a fake wedding that they had in commercial, and so I was a member of the wedding band playing the saxophone. But of all of the footage that they shot, they didn't use any of it. But it's always fun to play with the cast and you know, be there on set with them and watch how everything unfolds. So whenever Matt McHugh calls for me to do some background work, and if I'm available, I absolutely say yes. But it's always been a dream for me to work on SNL. So.
So how did you first get that gig?
Many years ago when I first started acting in D.C., I would, you know, like everyone else, I would submit to New York, and I submitted my headshot and resume, you know, I think out of the Ross reports or something like that. I submitted it to the talent coordinator for SNL, and he started calling, I think, last year or the year before. So this is probably like the sixth or seventh time that I've worked background on SNL. And that's literally how it happened. But it was years after I had submitted. And then, you know, when you submit sometimes and you submit and forget, and he just started calling, it seemed like out of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
So that's how. And once they start calling you, then you're continuously in their queue. And you'll keep calling, you know, whenever they have a need for my type.
Well, that's how it works. Yeah, once you're consistent and they like you, you keep getting those calls back.
Absolutely.
So is it a lot of fun doing those kind of shoots, or is it tedious, or how is it?
It's long days on set. So for a live show, we'd show up on a Friday and do rehearsal, and then for for the Saturday day, we show up by like noon or 1 o'clock, and there's 3 or 4 rehearsals and dress rehearsals and writers reviewing everything. And then we'll do a final dress, and then they'll cut or keep certain skits, and then whatever gets cut, you can go home, or you might be pulled into something for another skit, like be background for another skit. Or, and if your skit does end up airing, then of course you're in the live show. It's crazy, it's fun. So the last time I did a live show was when Justin Timberlake did Come On Down to Veganville, and I ended up being on camera dancing the new Harlem Shake. So you see me clearly dancing next to Justin and a bunch of other people doing my interpretation of the Harlem Shake. And it was crazy. It was awesome. It's adrenaline filled. You know, you're like running on, running off. The stage manager is giving you cues, and it's just, it's really fun. I love whenever he's on, and I love when he does that skit. So for me, it was just so much fun being part of that. And I love to dance. So it's more fun than work for me, honestly. So had a good time.
That real when it's more.
Sorry, say that one more time.
Oh,
I can't hear you. It's breaking up. I'm here, but it's a little choppy.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. One more time.
Oh, yeah. Hello?
I think something might be wrong with the phone. Say that again. Hello? 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 Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me now?
Okay, great. Great. Yes, I'm stepping outside.
Okay.
Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, has it gotten better or worse for black actresses the past few years?
I mean, I think it just depends. You know, I'm not an authority on black actresses all over. I'm just an authority on Dionne Audain, you know, an actress who happens to be of African-American West Indian descent, you know, and I work and I get cast and I go out and I audition. So I can really only speak from my experience. You know, more actresses of color, black actresses are winning awards and being recognized. I think it just depends on, you know, what the trends are in the industry. You know, right now I know there's a biopic being filmed that Zoe Saldana's in. So, you know, it just depends on the market. But honestly, it's about what you put out there, because if a black actress or a Spanish actress or an Asian actress is creating their own work that's not necessarily mainstream, you know, it's great. I mean, if you look at Issa Rae's web series, Awkward Black Girl, from where it started to where it is now, you know, that's a black actress on the rise. You know, she now has top management. She's working with, you know, well-known collaborators. So it's all on what we put in. I don't think it's fair for me to sit back and say, well, you know, there are no roles for me as a black actress. It's like I can sit and wait to be cast, or I can create my own work. You know, at the end of the day, it's what I put into it. So if I'm not putting my all into it, then I can't expect to get all I want out of it. I hope that answers your question, but by no means am I an authority on what, you know, what's happening with all black actresses, just on what Dionne Audain is doing. And by all intents and purposes, I'm working a lot. So
that's the idea. Just stay focused on you. Just do you, you know, just stay focused.
I mean, and
you
had opportunities, of course. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You were in a film, Viola Davis Won't Back Down. Tell me a little bit about that.
I auditioned. The way that worked, I got an audition notice from one of my agents in the Tidewater area, and I put myself on tape. I was in New York, so I was going back and forth to New York, between New York and D.C. for a while, and so I put myself on tape, and my good friend Kamal Jones, who helped put actors on tape for Donna Beljak in Pittsburgh, made me get up that day because I really didn't want to get out of bed and I didn't want to take my audition. And he made me get up and go down to Shetler Studios and put my audition on tape, and I submitted it. And I got a call back from the taped audition. And the call back was I had to physically show up in Pittsburgh, and there I auditioned for Daniel Barnes, the director, who's a really, really awesome director, a really sweet person. And I got cast. and I got cast as one of the parents who has to slam the door in Maggie Gyllenhaal and Viola Davis's face. And that particular scene made the trailer and the movie. So that's literally how
it
happened.
Excellent exposure.
It is. It is. I'm really excited about it, and I'm waiting for the residual checks to start coming in.
Well, good. So now, the audition up there in Pittsburgh, I mean, how did that go? Was that cold read, or what was it?
It was the same thing of what I did on tape, and what's really awesome is that Donna Beljak is really an actress, casting director, whereas because so much of sometimes her auditions have to be put on tape, she really coaches us, she really works with us, you know, she champions us. So while we were there, you know, before we even go into the room, she's like, this is what he's looking for, this is how it should feel. And even, you know, and then the director, she works, she always gets teamed with great productions anyway. So it was just, it was because, it, you know, in a callback, it's like they like you already and they want to cast you. And so it was a great experience, and it was just do what you did for the tape, and then, you know, whatever direction that they may have given or any changes that they wanted, I did it. But it was just, you know, people who want me to win, and that always feels good, you know, as opposed to the intimidating feeling that we sometimes get from the other side of the table.
Right, exactly. So now I'm going to play a little game here. Now, you know, it's been said that, you know, there's the consistency of TV money, and there's also the money from films. So I'm going to throw two roles out there, two projects out there. And, what's going on in the background there?
Oh, sorry. Let me just step outside a little bit. I'm in a coffee
okay.
shop. Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's getting kind of...
Oh, I see. Yeah, can you hear me much better now?
You better now? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, so anyway...
So you're going to put out two roles.
There's two different projects out there. So tell me which one you prefer to see yourself in.
Okay.
Either The Help or Scandal. Which one would you think you'd enjoy better?
Say that again, Scandal or which one?
The Help.
Ooh.
The Help?
Definitely Scandal. No, definitely Scandal. Definitely Scandal.
Okay.
You know,
why is that?
Absolutely. I think because of the type of role that it is, the type of show, it's very unconventional. You know, it's not a role that you would normally see an actress like Carrie in, and I think it's a fantastic show. There's longevity. And, of course, with a series, you know, it's more than 1 week of work or more than one time of working. You're continuously working, and there's so much other things that you can build upon that, you know, with a prime time series like that. So, absolutely. And that's one of my goals, is to be on a show like that, or a show of that caliber with that consistency and that repeat work.
Hmm. Who's your favorite actress?
It would have to be Viola, because I've stood in for her a couple of times, and I just always learn from her when I do. So, but I have many. You know, I started off with Glenn Close as one of my favorites as well. But it would absolutely have to be Viola, because I've just been able to be next to her on different sets and different projects, you know, TV, film, TV and two films. So, yeah, it would have to be her.
Hmm. So now, I've known you for a while now. You seem like you love to get other actors' jobs. How did that start?
That's always been something that I've done. Early on, I realized that I'm good at finding information, and I'm good at research, and that just is from my background, you know, from my previous career. And I would always find or come up on jobs that I couldn't do, but I knew other actors that could. And so I used to have a Yahoo group called Dion's FYI, Dion's For Your Information, and I would pass on information to other actors. And it just makes sense, because, you know, it's paying it forward. If you get somebody a job, they always remember you. Or if you refer a good actor to a producer or director, they always remember you. And it just, I don't know, it's good business sense. I can't do every job out there. You know, I could only be Dion. I could only be a woman, or I could only be, you know, what I show up as, versus if I see something for a Caucasian female, a Caucasian male, a Filipino, you know, actor. Like today, I had a virtual casting on my Facebook page because one of the clients that I work for was looking for Filipino actors. And so I just, you know, I hold a virtual casting call. I have people inbox me, and then I send them the information. And it's like an actor gets to work and a producer fills a slot. It just makes good business sense. I mean, I don't know. But a lot of people hoard information because for some reason they feel like that's what they need to do. You know, I mean, I've scaled back a lot just because it can be exhausting. But for the most part, I'm all about empowering actors to pursue this career because so many people are discouraging and it can be such a tough job, you know. And it just, when you can get somebody work, it could be the difference between them giving up and them saying, you know what, I got this booking, so that means that, like, I can get another booking. You know, it might help them build momentum. And it's just good karma. I don't know. Yeah.
Let's back up and see how. Now, I'm not too exactly sure, but I think you have a bit of a sports background.
I have.
So, yeah.
Do I?
So how did that?
Well, I'm very athletic, and I've always been. Yeah, I've been a runner since the age of 7, and I'm a certified personal trainer.
Oh, great. Yeah, I think you did the PX90. I think you sold that for
a while. I did Insanity. I was in the Insanity test group, so I was a part of the test group that helped you create the program.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So then
I'm in the infomercial. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, that's good. So now, were you able to bring that competitiveness into acting?
I mean, acting is, I guess, yes, in the sense that I'm a fierce competitor by nature, you know, and I'm a Capricorn, so I'm tenacious and I'm driven. And coming from an athletic background and acting, it's, you know, preparing my body is always a good thing, you know, being physically fit and things like that. But acting, honestly, is a competition of one. I mean, I compare it to a game of golf. It's like you just, it's either you're good for the role or you're not, honestly, you know.
Right. You're
not necessarily, even if 5 women like me show up for a role, I have a different essence than all 4 of them, you know. And so it's not necessarily like I'm competing against them. It's like I have to bring it in the room, and that's all there is to it. None of them are going to necessarily knock me out of it. It's either I show up really strong or I don't. So I don't see it in that sense. But I do train and make sure that I'm at my top level, whether physically, mentally, spiritually, and, of course, you know, in my craft.
Exactly. When did you start acting professionally?
When did I start acting professionally? I guess some could say when I got my SAG and AFTRA card, but I've you know, and that's the mark of a professional actor. But I've been a child model, and I've competed in storytelling competitions, and I've done, you know, plays and stuff. So I've pretty much been a performer since about the age of 2 or 3. But as far as when I re-embarked on this decade-long career, that was in 2001. I was working as a budget analyst for D.C. government, and I was speaking to one of my classmates from school, and she told me she took an acting class while we were working on our master's degrees, and for some reason that just sparked something in my head, and I opened up the yellow pages, and I found 2 places for acting, and one of them was the Actors Center. And I called the Actors Center, and Ginger Moss answered the phone, and I told her I wanted to act and what I wanted to do, and she, you know, told me what to do. And I think that year I did the first League of Washington Theaters audition as a green, brand-new actor. I got myself together, got a monologue, got some crazy-looking headshots that I copied on paper, and that's how it all started. So I would say in 2001.
Yeah, it's amazing how things just come from relatively humble beginnings. You know, you just have to have the spirit.
Yeah.
You just have to have that determination to do it. So when you started out, how good did you think you were when you started?
How good did I think I was? I knew I was green, and I was taking classes, but I knew, I didn't know if I was good, but I knew it was something that I was passionate about. It was something that ignited a part of myself that I just felt very, very alive. And I remember taking a class, an intro class at Woolly Mammoth, and coming home and crying and, you know, just saying that this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. This is, I enjoy this. So, yeah.
Who's been your favorite acting coach?
It would be Vera J. Katz. She's very, very, very awesome, very motivating. She is tough, and she is fair, and she is tough. And she builds strong actors, and for my coaching with the time that I've been coaching with her, she makes sure that I know my craft on film and stage, as well as knowing my craft in theater and having a very strong theater-based foundation, which for me, I don't have a degree in acting. I don't have a bachelor's in acting. I don't have a master's in acting. So my training comes from the courses I've taken, the books I've read, the jobs I've booked, and my coaching and my tutelage under Vera for the last decade plus.
Yeah, Vera's fantastic, too. She was on my show about a year and a half ago. Tell the folks out there some of the people she's coached.
She has coached and continues to coach, because they'll call upon her when they need, you know, coaching. There's Taraji Henson, Isaiah Washington, Felicia Rashad, Debbie Allen, Anthony Anderson, just those to name a few, you know, because Vera taught at Howard University for many, many years, and so she's very well respected, you know, among a lot of the actors that I've mentioned and in the community. So she's taught the heavy hitters, and, you know, and I've been able to meet some of them and interact with some of them simply because of my relationship with Vera, you know, and that in and of itself is an amazing blessing, you know.
Yeah, that's quite a list.
Mm-hmm.
So now, I want you to compare the D.C. acting scene to the New York acting scene.
How would I compare D.C. to New York?
Yeah.
I mean, D.C. is, as far as the community, there's a sense for more community in D.C., and it's a smaller market.
Uh-huh.
But in D.C., you can definitely gain what you need to move into a bigger market.
Uh-huh.
And it's a great place to not only get your feet wet, but also develop a full career. New York, of course, you know, New York is where so much more happens, just like L.A. New York has, you know, a lot more theater opportunities, a lot more TV film opportunities, a lot more everything, you know. But I think the great thing about being a D.C. actor is that you can work the D.C. market, and you can work the Philly market, and you can work the New York market. So not necessarily because New York has more to offer, I mean, it's the first place you have to come. You can start off in D.C. You can also come here. New York is also very much about surviving in New York before being able to pursue your career as an artist. Whereas in D.C., I feel like you can be an artist and live and thrive, you know? New York is a little bit tougher, but not impossible. But you can stay in D.C. and flirt with New York while obtaining your SAG card, obtaining your equity card, you know, doing all those things, building a strong wheel. And you can open up yourself to opportunities in New York as well. And then when you're ready to transition. You could also jump into New York like you can jump into L.A. But if you're not doing what needs to be done, period, for your acting career, in D.C., you're not going to do it in New York. You're not going to do it in L.A. So you might as well either start in D.C. or prepare yourself to hit the ground running in New York or L.A., you know, because in those places, it's really about surviving. You know, where am I going to live? How am I going to get around? What am I going to eat? I feel like in the D.C. and Philly, you can balance both a little better, you know?
Yeah,
I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, so that, I mean, that segues the next question about, I mean, what made you believe that you were ready to tackle New York?
Because I was coming to New York 1 to 3 times a week to audition and work.
Okay, so
and
it's
my,
more like
and my
New York
representation,
chose you.
Yeah, and my representation is in New York. And for a long time, or never, did they know that I wasn't in New York. You understand? So whenever I had an audition, whenever I had a go-see, I just make sure my butt was there. And that's a hard game to play because it doesn't matter where you live. It matters that when you get a call, you can show up. You understand?
Exactly.
And if you can manage to show up and be there and be consistent about that, you're going to keep getting calls. So if I had a go-see or if I had an audition or whatever it was, I would make the hike, you know. I would get on the bus. I would do what I had to do.
Hmm. Did you use that trick where you put like a camera on your resume?
I got a Google Voice number. Before Google Voice was Google Voice, it was called Grand Central. So I tried, you know, I had a 917 number and I used that. Honestly, it doesn't matter. You can have an area code from Alaska. You know, sometimes they might balk at it, but with so many cell phones and all that stuff, it doesn't matter. You know, it's about can you show up? Can you
right.
make it here? Can you make it to set when Grant Wilson says we need background and we need you to be a featured BG? If you can make it and you can show up, then that's it. That's what you need until you
right.
can actually live here, you know?
That's right. So I'm
going
to ask you to come up with like some basic percentages. So now, what percentage of your income do you think is currently coming from acting?
I would say 55%. It depends on, you know, if I get commercial residuals or if I get, you know, a payment from doing something versus my other stuff. But a majority of my income comes from my acting. Come from the acting work that I do.
Okay, so let's talk about what's been your favorite role you've done.
That's a tough one. My favorite role, I guess to date, would have to be, well, maybe, can I have more than one?
Sure. All right, cool.
Okay, so the first one that comes to mind is when I played Abraham Lincoln in Rocket Science, which was very unconventional, and then playing an FBI agent in the film Salt. That was a pretty big deal, you know.
Okay.
But it's I think for me it's hard to pick up him because each role signifies something different for me as an individual, but for as well as being an artist, as an actor, you know. But those stick out because to be in a film with the likes of Chiwetel Ejiofor and Angelina Jolie is just, you know, amazing. You know, I mean, there was so many other great names, like Ada Perro was in there, you know, Gaius Charles was in that film. So that to me signified a pretty big deal, a pretty big milestone for my career as an actor on the grind, as an actor coming up through the ranks.
Yeah. So now talk a little bit about Law and Order. How'd you get that one?
Law and Order.
Special Victims Unit.
I took an audition for TV camera class with Jonathan Strauss, who was one of the casting directors for that. And over that the course of that 6-week class, I think it was, he got to know me and know my work. And so the opportunity came up for me to audition for a day player role, and I got called in. I went and I auditioned for Jonathan. Then I got called back. And, you know, for the TV shows, for the Law and Order, you get called back, and there's a video camera there and a couple of producers and a director, and, you know, they're watching you in the room, they're watching you on the TV. It's the screen test. It's the callback and screen test. And that's how I got it. I was the screaming woman on the street as Carol Burnett's husband plunged to his death on top of a car.
I remember back in the day when you posted that on
Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually remember watching it.
that's been a good show.
Hmm? It must be pretty neat to go through your DVDs and see yourself every now and then.
I don't watch a bunch of stuff. Like, people will watch an old episode, it'll re-air, and they see it. Sometimes it's like I'm so hard working, I don't even get to see sometimes the fruits of my labor.
Right.
Because it's, once you shot a project, it's, okay, now what's the next thing? It's humbling because, when I started, I don't think I thought of how far it would go, how big it would get, at that time. Now I'm, more clear with where I want to go and what I want to do. But yes, can't find the word, but it feels good. It feels good to see hard work pay off.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's real talk.
Yeah.
So now you were on The Sopranos. How was that?
I was background again. I played, a nurse in the hospital. So it was just one of those opportunities. It's like, when I did featured BT on Sex and the City 2, it's still one of those like epic shows that you get to be a part of in any capacity. And I don't always put my background credits up or advertise that I'm in something. And what will happen is a lot of times somebody will see me in something that I may or may not have said. And because if I don't have dialogue, I don't feel like I should make it more than it is. That's because that's just never my style. Because for me, it's part of my job. This is what actors do. You do background. You show up. You show up. You just do the work. So I think that day, and of course, Tony Soprano, that character, and a couple of the other characters were there. I was just happy to be on the set of The Sopranos because it's such an epic show. It's like being on The Wire, for two episodes. That's an epic, epic show, And so I have a huge, huge fan base. And so to have gotten that before the show ended, forever was a huge, humongous check mark on my list because I had pretty much auditioned every season of that above The Wire.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
And then I see you did All My Children. You did House of Cards. You did,
did
quite a few different things there.
Yeah, the House of Cards thing, the funny thing about House of Cards is that I worked with Joel Schumacher on 12.
Uh-huh.
And my role on 12 was a speaking part. And due to budget, they cut my role back. So they cut the pay back, so they cut me back from the day player pay scale to the background pay scale. But the work for the role was still the same. So I end up being pretty much a significant character throughout the film with a very, very featured part at the end with Chase Crawford. The role that I played in 12 is the same exact role that I play in House of Cards, except my son is younger and it's just different circumstances. But the common denominator is that Joel Schumacher directed the episode of House of Cards that I was on. So when he saw the audition tape, he immediately remembered me from when he cast me in 12. So that meant for me an automatic booking based on the fact that he had cast me before. And so you'll see how a lot of actors and directors tend to work together. So for me, that's like the beginning of that almost in my relationship with Joel Schumacher, the director. So now it would be in my best interest to send him my reel, to follow up with him, let him know, what the last thing that I did was, and all of the, keep nurturing that relationship. It's all about the relationships and the follow-up, but I did good work once for him in the same capacity, and so he was able to bring me back again. And that's fine. People might say, you've been typecast. That's absolutely fine. I will take my typecast check to the bank and deposit it. work is work. It's not a bad thing to be typecast.
Yeah, that could be a real blessing to be typecast. You can have a
pretty good
career.
Exactly. Right, because if you keep doing 10 films, you play the same role, that's fine. It's different projects and different entities, but if you're good at something, then why stop doing it, So.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the future. What's some roles you got coming up?
Right now, I've been auditioning for feature films. I've auditioned for plays. I've been going out for print work. My goal is, you know, more significant feature film work, definitely an episodic. And I've partnered with another actor here in New York to create a web series. So I hope to be employing actors in the next 6 to 12 months.
Okay. Yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah, but creating my own work. You know, I've been writing for a one-woman show. Just, you know, doing all the things actors do. So this is just the conventional things of, you know, submitting and on feature films, submitting on television shows and pilots and all that. You know, I have a team that I work with that manages me and an agent that I freelance with, or two agents. So they're doing that job. For me, it's just, you know, continuing to create opportunities and being prepared and training and meeting casting directors and doing mailings and things like that. But in the next 6 to 12 months, I'd like to do some major feature work, feature film work, major TV episodic work, and of course more commercials. Everyone loves commercials. yeah, and really pick up my voiceover career as well. So
you know, I had Jesse Hayman, the world's greatest extra, on my show in December, and he was in a GoDaddy ad.
Yeah.
And he kissed this model, and now I can't book that guy for nothing. I can talk to him on Facebook. Now I got to go to his agent, and it's like publicity, rather, and I can't talk to that boy for nothing in this world. He just really blew up after that Super Bowl.
Well, you can always talk to me. I think a major thing is for me, is staying grounded, you know. So no matter how big I get, William, or how big you get, I hope you'll still talk to me. It goes both ways, you know. Yeah. When your show gets syndicated and it's big and all over, like Oprah, you're like, Dion Ordain, who's that? So I mean, you know, I think, it goes back to, you know, relationships that we create, you know, as we climb up the ladder. So I mean, I'm very honored to be on your show, and I, you know, I thank you for inviting me, because you know, you never, as an actor, you don't really think about this, but it's also part of our work. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you for your kind words. It makes it really feel good.
You're welcome.
Well, Dion, it's always been a pleasure talking with you. I mean, just thanks again for being part of the show.
Thank you. And thank you for having something like this, an outlet like this. It's very important, and I really appreciate it. And I know other actors do as well. So,
That's right. Okay. All right. I'll definitely have you on again in the future.
Thank you, and I'd love to answer any questions or, you know, give any tips or what have you. You know, I think, you know, we all have to help each other and empower each other, so.
That's right. That's what's up. Okay,
yeah.
Well, you have a great night.
You too. Take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And let me leave you with this tonight, dear listeners. This is from the Bard himself, William Shakespeare. Do not be like the cat who wanted the fish but was afraid to get his paws wet. Good night. Don't want it.
Mm-hmm.